Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
What's up, Boston Bruins?
I missed the blue
Where's
puck.
Where's the glove puck?
And I would just like to start a cheer.
When I say Boston, you say strong. Boston! Boston!
Have you ever watched a hockey game and actually stayed awake for the entire game?
What's going on?
Kyrie's in a great mood when Kyrie's feeling good. Our whole team feeling good. When he's down. Everybody's saying to get up tight.
It's fronting for it.
King of my jungle, just the game stood stalking. Yeah.
He knows that Brady isn't talking trash.
What's up, guys?
He's just scared of Luke.
Jeez, where's the music?
Right now.
What's going on?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. So what are the Patriots doing? First of all, they don't have an awful lot of money. So they are up against the cap. Even with some of the guys that they've released here, they're only, what, $9 million under the cap right
now?
So they don't have a lot of flexibility. Okay, all right, whatever. So here's a problem, though. Five guys: Tom Brady, $27 million. Stephon Gilmore, $14.8 million. Devin McCourty, $13.5 million. Rob Gronkowski, almost $12 million. And Dante Hightower, just under $11 million. Five guys occupy 41%. Of their cap.
Yeah.
Now, what the Patriots, what teams normally do, and what the Patriots have been notorious to do over the years, is they go back and they restructure those deals. So where's the restructure on Tom Brady's $27 million?
Well, I got to believe that there's an extension coming that might lower that number this year. I might already be done. Are they going? What are they giving $4 and $40 to Humphreys for if they only have $9 million in cap room?
They're going to have to find some cap room somewhere.
I mean, they tried to get all these guys, and I mean, if they only have $9 million or whatever, I saw Pat's cap, Miguel has like 9.8. Well, I mean, if you believe that and you believe the draft, then you're thinking they only have about $3 or $4 million to spend.
Yeah, but you can do it now, Lou. You only have to cut it down when you cut your roster down, right?
Yeah. So I mean, it's waste around. I don't look at the cap and say they can't go get this guy.
No. They can get these guys.
But Brady be one of them.
Back and restructure.
Brady be one of them.
Yeah, but that is amazing when you think about it. And, you know, a couple of those guys are up there in age. Is Dante Hightower worth $11 million right now?
Well, I would say yes. Based on, I mean, why would you say no? Why is he not worth $11 million? Tell me that. Why is he not worth? What makes him not worth $11 million? What does he do that says, you know what, you're not as good as you used to be?
Well, I think there are more significant players on the team. The problem is your dead cap money is $5 million, so you still get hit with it if you let him go. If you release him,
right.
It's not like you're getting all of the $11 million back. You're not getting it.
We already heard he's not willing to take a pay cut.
Right.
So it'd be worse if they extended him to try to get this number down. No, he's got 1 year left.
Right.
Whatever that number is, it is. Brady? Yeah, I don't think he's got 1 year left. So there's no reason for him to be sitting on this $27 million cap hit.
The curious thing with Brady is it's like the Patriots are finally in a position where the contract is coming to an end and you can actually have some control that you never had before. So what do you do? Do you put yourself back in that situation? Because Tommy was the big issue with Garoppolo. Okay, but you lucked out with that one. He ended up going to San Francisco getting hurt and everybody thinks that, you know, you made the right decision. But at some point in time, they're going to have to make it where, and I keep using Drew Brees as an example. And I want to say he had a 3-year deal with an option, or a 2-year deal with an option, and they pay the option because why would you not, right? Because he was awesome last year. Came one bad no call away from going to the Super Bowl.
$30 million.
Yeah, it was a lot of money. But where else? I mean, that guy's earned it. That guy's good.
Right,
that guy's world class.
I get it, but we're talking about how the Patriots can open up some money. And what I'm telling you here is you've got five guys occupying 41%. These are guys that you signed previously. Now, Gilmore was big money up front, and now you're paying the price. He's a terrific player. You want him. Maybe you want to restructure him right now going forward. But Brady, you've got to do something. You're not letting Tom Brady
go. Hightower,
even though it's an unbelievable hit. But those five guys, when you look at it, are killing you right now at 41%.
Okay, that's fine. So if I'm Hightower, I'm not taking a pay cut. And if I'm Gronk, I'm not taking a pay cut. So let's use Hightower. So you want to extend me, but then I kind of give up some control because then now I was going to be a free agent, but do I really want to be a free agent? You know, at this point in time, I'll do an extension. I'll do some more of a manageable number for them, knowing that I'm kind of debilitating anyways, which kind of locks them into keeping me here, even if it's at a reduced role. That to me, all right, fine. You guys can add a couple years, and you can own my rights and dictate what you do with me. But I'm not taking a pay cut. Period.
Okay. Are you still sold on the fact that Rob Gronkowski might retire because he's got some other offer to do something else in his life?
Well, I
don't know what Wiggy thinks. I'm going to ask Wiggy.
I don't know if you heard this when you were in your coma or out of your coma. Some people when they're in a coma, they you could talk to them. I don't know, maybe if Sarah had the radio on and you could hear Willie talking. Because we had Willie come on. Willie came on the midday show, and he was talking about. He was basically saying the exact same thing.
Story.
You didn't see. You were in a coma.
No.
You were
out.
It.
I heard the Willie story.
Yeah, you're debilitated.
Part-time player like Roger Clemens. Come back halfway through the season.
Well, no, Willie put a scenario out where basically Gronk walks away and retires. And then gets an itch in November and says, hey, you know what? I want to come back. Not the two on the same page. Not that it's an understanding. You know, not that it's going to be, you know, you don't have to practice during a week or we're going to build in some buys for you, whatever. No, this is I retire. Because I just find that ridiculous to think that Gronk would retire. Bill would be okay with it. Because if Gronk announces retirement, Bill's going to move on. He's going to trade for a tight end. He's going to move up and maybe draft a tight end. He's going to replace Rob Gronkowski. He's not going to sit around and wait for him to come back when he gets his itch. I just don't see that happening.
So it's just a feeling. So, I mean,
so the fact that would you see him at Miami doing hot yoga? You saw that picture of him doing?
That's a sign.
He's back.
No, you know what I think it is? I think the situation with Gronk is exactly what we were dealing with a year ago. And I thought you hit on it a while back, Christian, when you mentioned he's not going to take a pay cut. I think that's what he's fearful of right now. They want him to restructure, to do something with this. Because this 41% with five players is a problem for this team. These contracts have come due now where it really affects what they can do going forward. And so I think they've probably done it. But if you're Gronk, you're going to take your, what, $9 million and then a $609,000 roster bonus, and you're going to take it off into the sunset,
I want
to get
your thought on this, because Tommy Curran last week said this on NBC Sports Boston, and it got us thinking about another factor that might play into Rob Gronkowski.
When he spends time at the Super Bowl saying, look, I don't want to have 50 car crashes on Sunday and then have you guys on Wednesday saying, need you out of practice. If he looks at this and says, wait a minute, for $9 million, I'm going to play 1,200 snaps again and I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be catching all the crap if and when we don't have anybody else to throw to and it's all going to come to me, I'm not down with that.
So is he waiting to see what surrounds him? Because Rosenhaus said, you know, not about money. It won't be a financial decision, which I don't think any of us really believe. But the fact that he threw that out there, it's like, well, what is he talking about? And is Gronk sitting there saying, man, I went through last year, especially those first four when I just got double teamed and I got hammered each and every time out. And the other tight end you had in this roster other than me was basically a tackle who could just block. Are you going to get a tight end that can catch the ball? Are you going to take a little bit off of my responsibility, my plate? Are there other weapons here besides just me? And Jules?
So is it possible, Lou, that what he'd like to do is he'd like to take a lot of days off? We had a situation a couple years ago where Brady was taking off one day a week, right? Wednesday, he was taking it off.
Sure.
So maybe he wants to take some time off during the course of the season.
No days off!
So maybe that's part of what Willie's hearing, that, you know, he doesn't want to play the entire season. But if I'm the Patriots, if you want to do that, Rob, we don't want you to take get hit with $12 million on the cap if you're going to play 10 games.
I think I almost feel like this is a decision that, okay, do you want to be a lifer? If what you hear from Rob is correct, does want to play with another quarterback, wants to end his career here, never wants to play for another team.
I don't think he's going to play for another team.
That's a tough
question. There's this glorious retirement party and, you know, whatever you do with the dead cap.
But wait a minute. If he extends it, beyond this year, then he's going to get less money this year, and the money's going to be pushed to next year and the year after.
Well,
they're going to do it for the benefit of the Patriots on the cap.
The key would be, the way I look at it, the key would be, yeah, well, you compromise.
He doesn't play the year after that. Where's the money coming from?
The key is just to make sure, this year, what is it, $12 million he's owed?
He gets nine points.
Just call it 10.
Yeah, 10 million.
Okay, so you got $10 million. Right. Like, I'm not taking a penny less than $10 million. I'll do you guys a solid. You were on the same page. We'll work something out. You know, and it'll be a handshake deal, right? I mean, but I'm not taking any less money. Period.
See, I think you said this a while back, and I think you're right on. And I think that's the issue. I think that's what's going on behind closed doors right now. All of this other stuff, if he wants to do that and he wants to do this, it's all leverage for him. Hmm. He's using it as leverage. He's leaking it out there that I could go do other things. You know, I
yeah,
won't
but
beat up my body. I can go work for Nickelodeon. I can do five shows.
Yeah, and Rosenhaus says, economics has nothing to do with it. Right.
Economics will have nothing to do with
Please.
It.
Yeah, don't believe
I'm
it.
Not
it,
believing
it,
come on,
it, it never does, though, right?
Does he think everybody's
economics
stupid?
Economics never has anything to do with
King,
it.
Peter King, Peter, you know me. I'm not about money.
No, money's
not important anymore.
Yeah.
It's all about pride.
Is that your name? Babcock?
Yeah, I don't believe any of that. I think it really does come down to money. I think he's using leverage. I think if I'm the Patriots, I've got five guys that have 41% of the cap. I want to try to see if I can redo some of these deals. But that doesn't make sense if you're Gronk and you want to go year to year because you're close to retiring. Once Brady walks away, you want to walk away. But if you're going to take less money this year to get paid next year or the year after that, and then you're not going to be around next year or the year after that, you're never going to cash in. It's all about the money.
You did the Johnny Manziel thing.
Yes, it's all about the money. Johnny Manziel cash not money. Making an awful lot of money these days.
About 80 grand.
Prorated AAF contract.
Not doing so well.
All right. Dollar bills, y'all.
All right, 617-779. That's our phone number right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
What's up, Boston Bruins? Yes! When I say Boston, you say strong! Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Yes! Who's the enforcer? All of you! Every f***ing one of you is the enforcer! Take these people out! Take no prisoners! Let's go, Boston Bruins! Let's go, Boston Strong!
Notice the one game that Conor McGregor goes to, there wasn't a single fight out there. Everybody was intimidated. They were afraid he was going to go over the glass and attack
somebody.
I just want
to make sure the media was okay, because he was stomping all over.
He went over the B?
Over the, the spoke B all over there. You're not supposed to touch it.
How were they not laughing out loud when this little guy that's like a lawn jockey, I want to like plant his feet in cement and put him outside my yard. Hold, Cap, give him one of those little rings that you see.
They did.
How do they not laugh their ass off with
Boston
this guy?
Strong. Yes.
When I
say Boston, you say strong. Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Boston!
Strong!
Yes!
Yeah, they're into it. I can tell. They're really into it.
I thought they were into it. I thought it was goofy. Marchand scores the goal, and then he does the whole dance.
Well, yeah, that's different than him coming in and, who's the enforcer? Who is it? Oh, hello. Hello, very tall gentleman over there. It's all of y'all.
But it's even worse.
He came in after the game, too.
But when I say Boston, you say strong.
Yeah, he doesn't understand what that's about.
Like Chara's like, man, I'm 42 years old, man. Strong. Strong.
Why did
like,
he? 42 you know, today. He should have done it. We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Crickets.
Let's go Red
Sox. Yeah, why don't you do that one?
I've had
some of these guys come in. It's comical. And you can tell he knows nothing about hockey. He's like, you play the other team, the club, the match on the, huh? What is it? Just say Boston Strong.
Take them out.
This is your arena.
Your what?
Look, I
you
pook.
Your pook?
You get this pook when I
you
drop
pook.
It. This is your pook.
Your pook.
Your puck.
This is poke.
Poke, puck.
Well, the worst part is they put him down in the corner, and they gave him a stick right
green
up
one.
Against the glass.
Yeah.
A green stick right up against
listen,
the glass.
I love
I'm
Conor
surprised
McGregor,
he didn't hit
but
somebody with it.
Sitting and talking to the team pregame.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, informally, you know, just walk around the locker room and talk to some
yeah,
of the guys.
Yeah, that would be better.
But, hey, could you say a few words to our team before the game?
Yeah. Like, okay,
everybody in your locker, it's like, what? Like you've seen guys walk in. Maybe they walk to the lockers and say, how you doing?
Hey,
people walk
up
to him, hey, how you doing? This guy's holding court like a team meeting before the game.
Yeah, and it's a regular season game. It just doesn't work in the pros ever.
No. When I say Boston, you say Strong. Oh,
it was laughable.
God, I can't. I'm like, dude, I got to close my eyes. It's so awkwardly uncomfortable that I can't deal with it.
Here's the good
news. You're embarrassing yourself.
There was good news. He didn't physically take anybody's cell phone away from them. You know, he didn't rip it.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Though Dale sat down and did the interview in between the periods.
Dan was
very concerned he was going to get his cell phone ripped apart.
No.
And he doesn't like the guy. He didn't like this guy at all. By the end of it, Dale loved Conor McGregor.
He was totally different than what I thought he was going to be.
So you're a fan now.
You know, it's funny because my daughter texted me as I was driving home. She said, did you like Conor McGregor before? I said, I really didn't.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Because we talked about him before with the Floyd stuff. We talked about him before.
I didn't think you did. He seemed like kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And then I met him, and he was the exact opposite of what I had perceived him to be. We did the interview, finished up, go to commercial. We're getting him, you know, unmiked. He puts his two hands together, palm to palm, in front of his chest, and he bows to me. And he
like
says,
a sensei?
Yeah, he bows, and he says, well, thank you so much. He said, that was really nice. And I'm thinking,
does he think
that's not the guy I saw throwing a piece of fence through the back window of a bus.
But does he think Dale's the king? you're the king of Boston, right? The king. They told me you're the king. No, the mayor. Not really a mayor. No.
It's funny. I see Keith do the same thing when they're done at 2 o'clock.
And he's bowing.
I want more of a Coming to America scene. I want like the rose petals with the naked women. That's more the scene I would be looking for.
I'm with you, though. I laughed when I saw the thing, and I'm sitting there going, why aren't the players laughing?
They were like, one leg.
They were taking it seriously, and he comes back in when the game is over, and he does the same thing.
This is what they do with like Pop Warner. Who's got spirit? Yeah. We do. Who's got the spirit? We do.
When I say Boston, you say Strong.
Oh, it's a little comfortable.
Oh, it's so awkward. Imagine if he did that in a Red Sox dugout, like in the locker, in the clubhouse. Because you know,
for baseball,
it's so chill.
I don't ever see anybody hold court like that. You know what I mean? Like that. Like just casually walking around, everybody shaking his hand and maybe get a picture with him. Hey, sign a stick. You know, stuff like that I could see. But, hey, meet with the team real quick. Let me just give you a little inspiration.
Who's the captain?
Wait, let me hear this.
Jara stands up and he's like, holy Jesus.
Who's the captain?
Get this pook when I drop it. This is your pook.
Pook?
Yeah, he dropped the pook.
Shouldn't you know who the captain is before
who's the enforcer?
You're all enforcers.
All of y'all.
All right, so we go from one guy who...
All of you.
Kind of was a laughingstock yesterday to another guy. I must tell you, I feel bad for this guy.
Who?
Isaiah Thomas.
Come on.
It's not that
I feel
funny.
Bad for Isaiah
so
Thomas.
Yeah, so do I.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
Lou, I don't think I can remember anybody who has fallen from grace the way this guy has fallen. I mean, he was here for 2.5 years. He thinks it's three. Did a
he thinks
he
rounds 10. Up.
Yeah, he says
he rounds up.
You'd think I was here 15 from the love they showed me and the love that we gave each other. That's all genuine. It was a city that needed something at the time, and I needed a team that believed in me. I'm a hardworking guy. I played with my all, and that's all people wanted. I hate to say it. Right now, they found somebody else, and they're having trouble with the guy, and yet they still love this guy, Kyrie Irving.
I think people always love him, though.
Always love who?
And he obviously will always love Boston. Isaiah. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm not going to, whatever. He was great when he was here. I'm not going to put him, I'm not going to retire his number. I'm not going to say he was one of the great Celtics, but those couple of years he was here was outstanding. He's a big part of where this organization is right now.
So he was a guy, that was in line to get maximum contract, to certainly get a substantial contract. He got nothing.
Mm-mm.
He got nothing. He
did, and that's why you feel. That's why you feel bad for him.
He's not playing now.
Yeah, and he obviously loved the city. He loved being here. He loved everything about it. Right. So it's like he's going to get all emotional tonight. I don't think he's going to even play. Right. They don't even play him anymore.
He hasn't been playing. He's out of the rotation.
He's going to get a video.
Yeah, Mike Malone has him out of the rotation. They're fighting for position in the West, and they are not even playing him. He's shooting at like 32%. I mean, injury has just killed his game. Man, I don't know if he's ever going to regain any of this.
It is sad when you think about how much of his heart, he just really poured everything into it. And he had, I hate the fact that his sister died, was just really just, and then he got hurt and he broke his jaw. So everything
broke his jaw.
That he could, every challenge, and usually one of those is enough. Like, one of those challenges to endear a player to a community, to a city, is enough. Somebody dying, playing through an injury.
He fractured his jaw.
He went through all of it, and you said, oh, wow. You would think as a free agent or just, a guy who wanted a contract, this is what you hope for. You don't hope for your sister to die, but the opportunities to prove that you're worth it.
Yeah.
So he did that. He proves that he's worth it. And they say,
he's not going to work. He's a freak.
I like this one over here. She's much better looking.
He's a free agent at the end of this year. He's going to make nothing out there.
No, it is. It's sad in that regard because he deserved that contract.
That song needs to be played.
I feel bad
tonight for
him.
No, but the debate was not whether he deserved the contract. The debate was whether they deserved it here. Right? If you, Danny, do you invest in Isaiah? Is he a guy you want to build around for the next 4 or 5 years? And that was a good debate. I think for the most part, some people felt he should have. Others, move on. But if he wasn't going to make it here, he was good. He should have. He deserved it somewhere else, right? Well, around the league, and the injury, he's gone to nothing.
If he was healthy, he would have gotten himself, maybe not max contract, but he made substantial money out there. Would he make more than Marcus Smart? I think so.
Yes.
Okay, so he would have made a substantial deal.
He would have made in the 20s.
He was a two-time All-Star here.
No, if he stayed healthy and Danny decided that this isn't the place. Well, maybe the whole thing played out and he was healthy and he went to Cleveland for whatever, a year, right? And then became a free agent at that point. Then, yeah, he would have been like 23, 24 million.
So you tell
maybe
me,
not 30.
I don't think I've ever seen a bigger fall from a guy. This guy went from being a sixth player on Sacramento and
O.J.
Phoenix.
Simpson.
Right. He comes in. Well, there's a different story.
You said a fall.
Okay.
Tiger Woods.
Back now.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but you saw this kid come in here for 2.5 years. He's an All-Star for 2 years. They're chanting MVP as he's at the free throw line, which might have been a stretch because he wasn't the MVP. They fell in love with him. He fell in love with them. And then next thing you know, he's injured. We just went through the history of it, and he's got nothing. He's got nothing out of this.
It's
incredible when you look at this whole story and the rise and fall of Isaiah Thomas.
It's almost weird, too, because they try to do him a solid by sending him to Cleveland, right? If you go to Cleveland, they're going to be good. They end up, they end up going to the NBA Finals, okay, but he really isn't even part of it because he gets hurt again. And then he bounces around again. It's just kind of been his career. And then you sit there and go, all right, and then he keeps – it's almost worse – than just, just kicking you out, right? He's begging to come back, and yet they're still saying no. No, I want to come back. I want to come back. No, we're still good.
Wanted to let you know that there's no hard feelings, and if you did want me, like, I'm here. I'm willing to come back.
Yes,
and they're like, available. Well, that's nice to know. Thanks, no.
I say tears.
You feel for him.
From you?
I feel bad
for him.
No,
not for me.
No?
No.
You're not going to cry for him?
No, I'm not. He is, though.
He is.
Yeah, I
do. And then he holds, you know, like when kids, when their parents are going to work?
Yeah.
And then when your kids are little, they hold on to your leg. Daddy, come back. That's going to be Isaiah with Danny.
Yeah, but you know,
Brad, don't go.
Listen, you're absolutely right because he's going to watch this tribute.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to think back at that time when he was like on top of the world and he was talking about backing up the Brinks truck and he had made it in this league and he proved everybody wrong. And then he's going to realize he's not even in the rotation in Denver. Like just short 2 years later, he doesn't even play anymore. No,
the only way I think he plays in this game tonight.
That video is going to be what could have been.
Yeah.
Or what should have been. Right.
If Mike Malone really feels bad for him,
he'll get him in.
And the game is in hand now, one way or the other, you're either losing by a lot or you're winning by a lot, then you throw him in the game.
He'll get him in.
But I'm not sure he gets into the rotation early on in that game right now because they're fighting for position. I saw this last night. He was actually out on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
He always is talking about Boston on Twitter, and he did it again last night. He was coming here last night. He was looking for anybody that wanted to show up at a gym, and suddenly he shows up at Emerson College last night with a bunch of kids who are out there shooting with him. It's sad. It really is sad. All right, we'll get to that, and we'll get to the...
going to miss you, but like Dale said, you're not going to be far.
It's okay, Keith. It's all right, buddy.
We'll get through it together.
Is anybody still having doubts about this Celtic team? I know they beat Atlanta yesterday, but if you watch the game, are you still questioning when they play really good teams what this team is going to be like? Because I am. 617-779-7937.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I wasn't expecting nothing to happen, especially this time with them asking not to do the tribute, but they show their true colors like they always do. And that's all I keep saying it, but it's just genuine love on both sides. The fans are everything here.
All right, this is just from minutes ago. BallIsLife.com just put out a video on Twitter. Take a look back at Isaiah Thomas' top plays of his incredible 2016-17 All-Star season in Boston. 53 points, 29, and fourth in overtime. And then he can't help himself. Isaiah Thomas responds, "When the opportunity comes around, I'll be more than ready to take it back to the top." He's passionate. I feel bad.
He's on a team, isn't he? He's on his team. The Nuggets are like one game out of first place in the West. Isn't this kind of an issue? It doesn't matter, though. It's like you're dating. You're on the NBA's version of Grindr. You're sending out, you're swiping right, left, and right, and Christian, you still have a suitor you work for.
He's not even on special teams, okay?
Is it not a little awkward and weird?
I love logging on to Grindr.
Are you the type of guy, like, when you broke up with, like, a girl or something like that, Lou, like, I should have said Glenn and Lou. Did you guys, like, go to the girlfriend's, were you still friends with the parents?
No.
You still go, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Hey, do you show up at barbecues?"
No.
This is what Isaiah Thomas is doing. They're broken up.
That's a good
They're
point.
Done.
Showing
They've
up
moved
the
on. They have a new girlfriend. Right. They have a new boyfriend. Yet he keeps showing up at the barbecues.
But here's the problem.
Can someone please tell Isaiah that we've moved on?
You're missing it.
And he doesn't want it.
He can't get a new girlfriend.
Okay, it's getting creepy.
He's not good
it's
enough
getting
to get
creepy.
A new girlfriend. Right. That's his problem now.
Stalking them.
He can't play. He can't do anything. Jerome in Dorchester wants to talk about Isaiah. Go ahead, Jerome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
One quick point, and then a question. It happens to every athlete in Boston. It's a major city, but it's small. Once they come in, they love it. Everyone knows them. Everyone pats him on the back. They take care of him. So he feels the love of the city. So that's nothing abnormal. And the second thing is when Rozier's out of here next year, Isaiah can come back on a 2-year contract. get back to the system that made him what he is. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He'll be back home and he'll be happy again. Let me know what you guys think.
I'm sure there is an opportunity. So what would that look like? He'd be a great guy coming off the bench, which is what that was what he was supposed to do.
But it's up to him at this point. You know, like, I was surprised too. He's out of the rotation. He hasn't played the last three games. Right. But the first couple games back, it was like limited minutes, but still, it was like 16 points, 16 minutes, 10 points, 15 minutes. And you're like, all right. And then he hit like three or four games in a row. I don't know if it just something settled in, but now he's not even playing.
Right.
If he was with Denver and he finishes the year out and he's playing 16, 17 minutes, he's putting up and he's shooting well, then of course you could always use a scorer off the bench, right? Your eighth guy, your seventh guy, eighth guy, ninth guy, whatever it might be. But it's up to him. If he can't play anymore, then you're not going to just bring him back just to put him in the end of the bench and be the 10th guy just because he loves it and wants to be here. If he can contribute and be a scorer off the bench, then yeah, absolutely.
So here's now we got the little guy.
So here's the problem he's having. He's shooting 32%, and as we all remember him well, MVP, he likes to shoot. And even when he's not shooting well, what does he do?
King of the fourth.
He still shoots.
Okay, can it officially be over like tonight? Can they officially, listen.
Not in his
eyes.
He wants
come to the family dinners anymore.
What are you talking about? He's talking with Himmelsbach here in the Globe. He's talking to him about next year. He talked to Danny in the offseason this past year. He wants to come back here.
That would be shocked.
By the way, can we pass this along to Rob Parker and Stephen A. and some others who say that none of the black athletes want to play in Boston?
Against the law to be racist.
This is a guy that's banging on the door. Let me in.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, last year he was on two teams that were awful, right? Cleveland and the Lakers. And you look, I mean, he's getting 25, 26 minutes. And he was putting up 15, 16 points a game. It's just that this year, you know, the new injury, he missed all this time. When he came back, he's not right. Will he be right in the offseason? Will he take absolutely nothing to come back here in Boston? Sure. Absolutely. You lose a guy like Rozier, and what if he was like your Brad Wanamaker? Because you weren't paying him anything because he just wants to come back to Boston.
I don't think he can do that.
So why not?
Because he's come from up here. He's been a star in a team. If I'm Danny Ainge, that's what I'm thinking of. Jerome was saying, you know, why don't you get him as the Rozier replacement? If I'm Danny, I'm looking at it saying, okay, the dollars may not be an issue, but bringing this guy back, he's a real proud guy. He could end up out of our rotation exactly the way Malone's taking him out of the rotation in Denver. What do we do then? Cut him? He might have lost it, guys. That hip injury
That's more likely than anything else.
I agree.
With the injury.
It's been a long time now, Christian. Long time recovering from this injury.
Yeah, and so, okay.
And he had surgery as well now since then.
What?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say it.
Save it.
You're going to get in trouble? Everybody loves him. No, I mean, there could be a role for him somewhere. Hype guy.
So can I bring this up about the present
Conor McGregor role?
Conor McGregor role.
Cheerleader. Can I bring this one up about the Celtics right now? Because the last two games, neither one of these games I've been overly impressed, especially with the way they've played defensively. Against Sacramento, they gave up 120. They gave up 120 against Atlanta, right? So, and before that was the game in which they gave up 140 in the final game of the trip against the Clippers.
Yes.
Every time they win a couple games, most of the green teamers start feeling really good about this team. Am I the only one that's looking at the last two games saying, you better be a hell of a lot better than this if you're going to do some damage in the postseason?
The Sacramento one, I didn't mind at all. You know, you come back on that road trip. I think Sacramento's a pretty good team. They've got some good young players. What they did in that game was they did something that I haven't seen really this team
do.
They're down 17, they come back. Then they go back down 12, they come back again.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, I'm with you. But that Atlanta game, you're right. I mean, how much were they up at one point?
20-something.
20-something, and they made it. It's a game now. And all of a sudden, you go from, you know, resting my guy, you know, Big Al Horford, who's dealing with some knee issues. He comes out in the third quarter, and you got to put him back in.
Right.
Because you can't hold the 20-something point lead against Atlanta. You know, so great. Yeah, you pulled it away. Awesome. So I don't mind the Sacramento game because I like the fact that they actually came back. I remember watching and seeing they're down 15. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to think they're going to come back, but they'll end up losing by 23. And they came back and won. Atlanta, that was a problem. You can't let that team back
in. This is okay. I feel like the closer we get to the end of the season,
nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
No.
No road trip, no Uno on the back of the plane, no L.A. trip, nothing has changed. So to me, it's just more of the same.
Just more. But it's, you know, sometimes it looks a little different, and or maybe it goes from the second quarter lapse of any fire to the third quarter, or it's a first quarter slump, and then the fourth quarter they kind of, you know, find their way, and then Jaylen Brown becomes like, you know, a stud, or and just the one guy you can count on over and over again. I just want the playoffs to start already, and then just go from there.
So
because this will turn you nuts.
All right, so the Clipper game was a game at home at the Garden in which they had the big, huge lead, 28-point lead or whatever, and they lost by 11. It was just ridiculous, the flip.
Embarrassment.
So then they go out there to L.A., and I remember us talking about it before the game. If you're a good team and you're emotionally sound in your locker room, you're sitting there going, guys, payback tonight. This is revenge. Remember what they did to us at the Garden. And then what happens? You get spanked even worse
out
there against the Clippers.
Too close to the end.
So too much fun out in L.A.
So let's look at tonight's game. Do you remember the game out there in Denver where Jamal Murray had himself 48 points? The game was over, and he tries taking a wild shot at the end after the game was over on the last possession with the ball because he was trying to get 50. He had 48 points at the time. And do you remember after that game, Kyrie going off, all pissed off?
He threw the ball.
He threw the ball in the stands.
Yeah.
He got fined for that, like 25 grand or something like that.
Congrats.
Okay, so Denver is a good team. They're the number two seed out in the West. But look at their splits. They are great at home. They're like only lost six games at home. They're a 500 team on the road. You're playing them on your home court. You owe them one for what Murray did to you and embarrassed you out there. To me, this is another one of those games like that Clipper game. Show me some balls. Show me that you're going to go out there and you're going to destroy this team, destroy Denver in this game.
How about just win? I mean, they're a good team. To me, the Clippers, that's what, you know, you should have been doing that to that team. Okay, you should have destroyed that team. And I heard, oh, it's a full final game of a four-day road trip, you know, full-game road trip. That happens.
Stop it.
When you spend four or five nights in the exact same hotel because you just played the Lakers two or three nights before that.
Please.
So I don't want to hear that. And you get Kyrie after the game giggling about, we just need to get out of L.A. Okay, listen, you went out, you won three straight, you felt good about yourself. You went out to Shaq's little thing, you hung out with Urkel. Awesome, that's great. So what'd you do? You party too much? So you gave up a game. Okay, I guess I'm supposed to accept that and just say, no big deal, I can't. But Denver, I mean, I don't think they need to make a statement and embarrass them. It's a good team. They need to beat them.
I think you've
got
to
win.
Yeah, I think you've
got to Clippers, they should have embarrassed them. Yeah. Instead, they get embarrassed.
This season has been filled with prove-it, the statement-type games, where they try to convince themselves that they figured it out. Like, here's another opportunity for us to prove, not only to themselves, but to everybody else, that they figured it out and they're a team to be reckoned with, right? This is the team that you thought you were going to see before the season started. It doesn't work that way. It's too up and down. It's not going to work. So even if they go out there and they, what do you say, Glenn? Show some balls.
Show some balls.
Right. Tonight. So what does that look like to you?
It looks to me like a convincing win. So convincing win over a good team. You're playing on your home court. You win by 8. You win by 10. But you're solid from beginning to the end of the game. There are none of these letdowns where suddenly
no
they
runs,
get back
no
into
long
the game.
Runs nope, by the
nope,
Nuggets.
Nope. But that's what good teams do. If you're a really good team, that's what you do. Okay, there are nights I know you're going to have, nights where you just don't, you don't put in any
you
effort.
You don't have
into it.
Oh, you often, just don't have it.
Golden State has had a bunch of those this year, okay? And I still think they're going to win the whole thing. But they've had nights in which this year you sit there and say, what the hell happened to Golden State last night? Well, they didn't care. I'm sorry. If you've got any type of a memory, and Kyrie said all of those things about Murray after that game, you remember what happened. You use it as motivation. You're trying to get a number three seed right now. Perfect opportunity to get the emotion in that locker room going and go out there and show something tonight.
Yeah I don't know. You've seen it before. Look at the schedule. Look at all the games, and you can point to a bunch where you saw what you want to see tonight. But you see that tonight, you're going to put your head down on the pillow, wake up in the morning and say, aha, I feel so much better about the postseason.
No, they shouldn't need, again, we are where we are right now, but this team shouldn't need just wake-up games. You know, they shouldn't. They're just good. I should be sitting here at this point in the season thinking, okay, good team comes in Denver, this should be a good game, and they'll beat them at their home court because this is a very talented basketball team. And instead, you don't even know what you're going to get. You have no idea. Are they up for the challenge? Will they lose by 15? No clue. And that's the frustrating thing, I think, about this club. As talented as they are, you just never know.
See, to me,
Debbie Downer.
See, to me, Lou, I would gain a little bit of momentum with this team if they went on a run here and they're able to capture that number three seed. I still think the Pacers are the team that's going to drop down. Unfortunately, it looks like Philadelphia is the team that's going to move up and take over. They had a big win yesterday. So, yeah. But this team looks like they're content with going into the postseason with the number five seed.
No, I know. And I don't when you look how I know. When you look how close they are and the way the schedule, you know, sits up, they should easily be, and I'm saying easily, they should easily be able to achieve that goal of being the number
two
three
against
three.
The Pacers unless they, in the next couple
yeah,
of weeks.
Yeah, and then they got the Sixers in what, in a couple days.
Yep.
So it's it just to me it doesn't. There's nothing that I see from them that makes me say, okay, we're gonna have a lot of fun in the postseason.
And I don't understand.
You're gonna be frustrated, irritated, agitated.
You know the way you look at it.
So
if they get that four seed, right, and they can go just past Indiana, that to me, given where they are right now, that might be their best case scenario.
Yeah, beating Indiana with a home court advantage.
You tell me. For some reason, I just think they're a better matchup against Milwaukee than Toronto. I think Toronto's a better team. I don't care what the record is, and I know Giannis is there, I know Middleton, but I just feel like Toronto's a better team. So, I mean, if you're 4-5, you get Indy in the first round, and then you got to go up against Milwaukee. You know, and then we'll see what happens. Maybe Philly can knock Toronto off. I have no idea. But I just think at this point, if you can't, you know, 4 is not the worst case scenario because I believe they can beat Milwaukee.
Well, they better go on a run because the Pacers are not falling apart. You're going to have to go on a run here. Sam is in New Hampshire, wants to talk about the Celtics. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, hey, I just want to actually say I agree with Glenn on that. I think they should go in and kill Denver at home. I think that would, I'd love to see that. But also regarding Isaiah Thomas, I know a lot of people were giving Danny Ainge crap when he traded him away. I was always for the trade. That was kind of like based on what you guys just said about Thomas, not even recovering from that yet. Like, that's like a Belichick-like trade for Ainge. Don't you think he should be getting like some more credit for that?
Who's giving him? Who didn't like that?
No, yeah, I don't think anybody
Isaiah Thomas
didn't like
for
it.
Kyrie Irving? I mean, they gave up the 11th pick basically for Kyrie Irving. That's basically what they did.
Better player in an extra year on the contract, right?
But don't you guys remember that a lot of people are calling in and like
because they loved Isaiah. Sam, they loved Isaiah. That was it. And that's the point we're making. Everybody loved Isaiah here. But what you're looking at pure basketball trade. I don't know how anybody couldn't look at it and say Kyrie Irving is a better player than Isaiah Thomas. Even back when Isaiah was good, he wasn't as good as Kyrie Irving.
Little guy.
I think most people gave him credit for that. They should have given him credit for that.
Yeah. No, I think everybody loved Isaiah. That was the
Isaiah
problem.
Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, and basically the 11th pick.
That's why I sit here and say I feel bad for the guy because the guy was at the top
because
of
it. Because he deserved a better ending,
He deserved a better ending.
And he did everything to get it, and yet everyone just kind of just walked on by him.
Christian, he played with that bad hip.
Hold on.
He fought through that bad hip every day.
Hold on.
You crying?
This is tough.
You want some Kleenex?
Because the more I think about it, the more I think it's...
Save it for the video tonight.
Don't play that song.
Save it for the video. All right. The video
it's
will
terrible.
Come. The video will come tonight.
He was getting paid, right, by the way?
Huh?
Oh, yes.
He was getting paid. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.